Welcome to episode 17 of Bedtime Stories for Grown-Ups, a podcast that is created from the stuff of dreams. Once upon a time, if you were lucky, someone told you bedtime stories. Maybe someone read you books, or the same favorite book over and over. Or maybe someone made up your bedtime stories, telling you nonsensical things until you closed your eyes and let sleep take you away. These bedtime stories are the whimsical, made-up kind. Little scenes from dreamland to guide you there. There is no plot to follow, no sense to make of anything. Just a sequence of images from beyond the consciousness of day to help you let go and drift into dreamland. We are walking through long corridors in a high-rise building. We must be in the downtown core of some city. The building we are in is just one among many other high-rise buildings. Suddenly, all of the buildings start moving around, like gears in a mechanical watch. It is dizzying, and we have to hang on. When it stops, everything is in total disarray. We don't know where we are anymore. Should we run? Should we go up these ladders? But the people are just walking around as though it is normal for buildings to interact like gears in a mechanical watch. We might have dreamt about this. What is going on? No one seems too nonplussed about this at all. When we ask, we are told that this has to happen because no one dreams anymore. They say it is necessary, or we will stagnate and no longer flourish. But we are still dreaming, we say. Then we are rare in this world, and getting rarer. Now we are not sure where to go, or what to do. All the people seem to have their tasks to perform and their clipboards with instructions. Everyone around here is walking around with their heads down. Someone has left a pile of old black and white photographs on the table. When you pass your hand over them, they come to life. At least, they become animated. They turn into old 8mm films, and each photograph has a runtime of about 1 minute. It is very cool. We notice that every time we pass our hands over these images, a different scene plays itself out. And sometimes there are glimpses of what was going on just before the photo was taken, or just afterwards. And even glimpses behind closed doorways and into other rooms. These scenes are all somehow connected, and the more we watch, the clearer the story becomes. we end up losing ourselves in these magical black and white photographs for hours upon hours upon hours. When you are dreaming within a dream, it is like reading two novels simultaneously. There are two stories to keep track of, and sometimes they blend together. There is some sort of ceremony with a pastor and some initiates. We are all separated by cubicles, but everyone can still hear everyone else and see what is going on. The pastor is talking about following the right path. And then someone said, "Yes, but sometimes while following the right path, we get distracted. And we venture into intriguing and winding side paths in the woods. Paths that may end abruptly, or may eventually end up joining back up with the main path again. And sometimes we might step off the main path to observe all the others trekking by, while we ponder whether we even want to continue. It doesn't mean it is wrong. There is more than one path, and there is certainly not only one right path." Everyone stopped to listen, but there was no response, just complete silence. A friend of ours, who has started wearing elaborate white costumes, comes in trailing a long decorated white train. There are baubles and little works of art sewn into the train. There seem to be a number of rules to follow in order to wear these long decorated trains. Is this a cult? Did our friend join someone's cult? Or did our friend create this cult? He hands us a folded up piece of paper. We open it. It is huge and difficult to handle without tearing it or stepping on it. It is an enormous map of the world. The Americas are on one side, and the rest of the world is on the other. These days we are seeing different apps and docs randomly scattered on different surfaces all over the place. Not even just on our phones and computer screens. They are everywhere, on picnic tables and countertops, and even rolling down the streets like tumbleweeds. We are trekking along, a group of us survivors. There is an old man trying to teach us the value of hard work for some sort of reward. We all have our little clutch purses with a few coins in them. But what we really want is some water to drink, and some food would be nice. We are hungry. The old man is promising us more coins if we keep following him and work hard. But we are beginning to wonder. We are making our way back. We don't know which way is quicker. Taking the path straight up the mountain, or following the side trail. Come to think of it, we are not sure how we got inside these photographs in the first place. We know the photographs came from a box, but which box? And where is the box now? Our guide is leading us through a mountain trail. We are in Switzerland. Or is it Austria? Doesn't matter. We are coming to a clearing in the mountain pass, and it is so beautiful that we are weeping. We are saying, "This is so beautiful. It is a different forest from our forest back home. And the air and light are different too. But it is so very beautiful, it is making us cry. We are very grateful." We are waiting to be checked in at the hotel. We decide to try embodying different characters and see if anyone notices. We want to see how we will be treated as each of those different characters. It is a fun game, and we are indeed treated very differently, depending upon which character we are embodying. In another place, there is a young man who is working in his dream job. He is the caretaker of the large cats. Mostly he seems to be caring for all the little lion, tiger, and leopard cubs. He spends his days in cages, surrounded by big cats and big trees. He does have a tyrant for a boss, which is unfortunate, but the animals kind of make up for it. We are escorting a woman who has just returned from being away for a long, long time. She disappeared many years ago, and there was always a bit of mystery and intrigue surrounding her disappearance. Was she murdered by the tyrannical boss? Had they been lovers? The young man looking after the large cats is her son, but he doesn't know it. She knows this, though, and she has come back to meet him. We have been calling her by different names. Was she supposed to pretend to be someone else? Now we are introducing her to the young man who looks after the big cats. He is up in a tree, and he is a little shy. We introduce her as his Aunt Lucy, because that was how he knew of her in the stories about her and her disappearance. Maybe it would be too much of a shock for him right now to be told that she was actually his mother. She knew, of course, and now she had come back. The place where she had lived before she disappeared was still vacant. It was strange, because ever since she left, after all these years, there had been a reflection of an enormous full moon on the bathroom wall above the bathtub. The reflection of the full moon had never gone away. Sometimes over the years, the man she had left behind would stand wistfully at the door and stare at the mysterious reflection of the full moon that never went away. We wondered if it would finally disappear, now that she had come back. we are in a lecture hall. The guest lecturer is a professor visiting from Europe. He is talking about how anyone can practice the art of illusion. There is really nothing special about the ability to throw one's voice, so to speak, meaning having one's voice come from the opposite side of the room. It is just a matter of learning how. It is the same with visual illusions. The lecture is very interesting, and we are quite engaged. But in the end, we are disappointed because the professor did not actually demonstrate his theory of illusion. He just talked about it. We are in a British pub. There seems to be some sort of weekend celebration going on that involves all the thespians descending on pubs and doing some silly sketches. We don't recognize any of the actors. Most of them are older, and they are definitely into their cups. The skits are really silly, and the actors are laughing at themselves, which is never a good thing. There is even a tiny man that they are using as a prop. It seems cruel. Has the tiny man even consented to this? He is only about 12 inches tall. A very miniature man indeed. Walking back to the cabin, we saw some aliens skulking around the woodpile. We pretended not to see them at first because we didn't want to startle them. We decided to go around and then to approach from a different direction. We got a closer look at them. They were quite small, with huge kind of insect-like eyes. And they seemed to be eating wood bugs out of the woodpile. They didn't seem to be bothered that we were standing there watching them either. We watched the small alien creatures for a while, until we became distracted by a ghost baby chasing a ghost cat around the cabin. Later, we saw an enormous silver object, shaped like a giant metal cigarette case, rise above the trees and hover for a moment before it vanished. We have to make our way to the bottom of the waterfall, where those people are. Down there. Do you see? How do we get there? We are going to have to climb down the rock face. But the ladies of the court are coming now. One of the ladies is wearing a very elaborate gown and what looks like a crystal chandelier as a hat. Quite the headdress. It is tinkling as she walks. We won't be climbing down the rock face now. Certainly not with the ladies of the court watching. Instead, we decide to go out and walk the streets of Paris and perhaps find a museum to visit. When we went outside, we saw a woman hand her baby off to a stranger and then throw herself in front of an oncoming train. Please don't play the Requiem. We don't want to hear the Requiem. The photographs are on display in the memorial wing because they are glimpses from the past. And what is the connection between Mozart and the Sufi poets we want to know? It is all about the music and images and poetry, because that is the way we celebrate the miracle and beauty of life on this sacred planet. What happened to the goddess? Well, first she was insulted. And then what happened? And then she was denied and ignored. And then what happened? Well, in the end, she was burnt at the stake. That finally put an end to the goddess. At least, that is what they thought. Thank you for listening. Sweet dreams.